whatever. By the way, that will be on tonight, 8 o'clock, I think, one of the ABC or something like that. So if you miss it because you're in the house of the Lord, there's a little taste of Charlie Brown. Amen. I just giggled this when I was studying. I said, you know, things are so serious. A lot of things are happening all around the world. And we need to take a moment and thank the Lord and just laugh and use some humor. Father, thank you again for the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the ability to teach tonight and just to be with family. Lead us into all truth and anoint us, Father, not only to teach, but to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, last time we got together on Deuteronomy, we were in chapter 3. Let me get to my notes. Chapter 3. And spoke to that. There's a time to fight. And then there's times to just, you know, let obedience take over. Listen to the Lord. Some battles are not for you and I, okay? Sometimes we just need to say, bless you. We just need to say, we need to say bless you too, don't we? excuse me, we need to, you know, it just realize that, hey, some of these things are not for me to go after. I'm not to battle certain things. I'm to let the Father take over. Verse 2, fear not. Remember that? Dealing with Og. Wait a minute, God. This is a giant. This is somebody huge. This is beyond me. This power bill's too big. This expense, my past, whatever I'm facing. Don't you understand? I'm facing the giants. The Lord says, fear not. And so that's one of the things we need to take out of Deuteronomy 3 is not to fear our enemies, not to fear giants, not to fear those that would come against us, but to walk by faith. Remember, it became a national hymn to them, and that was found in Psalms 135. You know, they began to sing. David was so awesome about taking his victories and making songs out of them. Obviously, that's where we see them in the book of Psalms. But we should learn to do that. We should learn to take our victories and worship God with them, especially when we're going through hard times, and say, Lord, I remember, not that you're reminding God, but I remember, Lord, when I was going through this battle and this hard time, you were there. I remember in my sickness, in my drought, in my fever, in my famine, in my worst case of life, you were there, and you never left me, and you never forsook me. Wow, very powerful. And so God allowed them to go through this. The victory is always sweeter, larger, and lasts longer when it's done in obedience. Isn't that so true? You know, so many times when we lived in the world, we would do things to manipulate people to get something. It felt good for a moment. We're like, yeah, I got you. And then after a little while, it soured. But when you do things according to the word of the Lord, you do things obedient in obedience, and you do it on righteousness sake, righteousness side of things, it feels so much sweeter. It feels so much better. Even when you lose because you did right, it feels better. Amen? Because in the world, when we are lost, when we are lost and we weren't saved, when we would lose a battle, what would we do? Would we become vengeful, bitter? I'm going to pay you back, Jack. I had a friend of mine, well, actually it was a brother, flesh and blood brother, and he would always say this, boy, you got to sleep sometime. You ever somebody say that? I was like, ooh, golly, you're right, I do sleep hard. And I do got to sleep sometime. Or he would say that to his enemies. You got to sleep sometime. You know, what is that? That's just vengeance. Planning your way to make ends come to your good. But it doesn't. It ends up being to your bad. All right. So verse 4 and 5, all things are possible. Verse 6, utterly destroyed. Wow, I still find that amazing how that he took total dominion over the giants and total dominion over their cities and over their possessions and everything they had. And God said, when I want you to destroy something, you don't just mess with it, you destroy it. Remember, you'll see it later on if we go to the book of Joshua, you'll see where Achan caused a lot of Achan. He caused a lot of pain for Israel because he didn't do what God told him to do. And he was supposed to slaughter everything. But remember, they held back some stuff and hid it in their tents. If God tells you to destroy your enemy, now we don't do that in the physical realm, but if he tells you to destroy something and to get away from it, get away from that habit, get away from people who have that habit, don't associate with people like that, then that's a type of destroying. You have to annihilate that out of your life. It does amaze me how people say, well, I just fell back in love with him. I just fell back in love with her. I just fell back in that relationship. You never got away from him. Amen. Anyway, so verse 7, we talked about payday. Verse 8, testing, and then there's the rewards. Verse 12 through 17, the spoils of war. Oh, man. Verse 19 through 20, if the battle is bigger than you, remember that? It's really not about you or me. So the battle is bigger than you and I, but it's really... it's not about me. It's about God getting the praise and the honor and the glory. I think when we get to heaven and we see the totality of what God has given us and done for us, and we really see how small the battles were and how much we could have gave God more glory and how we could have done much more than what we did, it'll astound us. But he puts these stories in the Bible so that we could learn from them and we can be stronger and we can say that next time that battle comes around, buddy, I'm taking that giant's head off and I am going to defeat them and I'm going to hear, well done, that good and faithful servant. So very, very powerful. Verse 28 and 29, passing the sword on to Joshua. All right, chapter 4, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Here we go. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Now watch this. First of all, he said to Shema. The word hearken, hearken means to Shema. And we know that. We've taught that many times in this church. It means to listen and obey. Listen and obey. So many times we've give God, you know, that nod. Just like we do to our parents, just like we do to people. You know, you work with somebody and you're training them. They say, do you got it? Mm-hmm. And then they don't get it. And they do something different. Okay? So listen and obey. Now, watch this. This is really cool. The Holy Spirit showed this to me. I was like, oh, man, that's really, really neat. He said, now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you to do. Teach you to do. And I looked at that, I was like, wait a minute. Teach you to do. I'm not teaching you so that you hear me. I'm teaching you so you'll do it. I'm not teaching today to be here to fill in time or whatever. I'm here teaching so people will do it. I'm not teaching in order for people to know my name. I'm teaching so that when you stand before God, you heard the word of the Lord, you obeyed the word of the Lord, you became successful in whatever measure and definition success means according to Scripture before God. I want to teach to do. And that's where we've missed it. We don't teach people to do things. We teach people in order to know us. We teach people in order to impress people. We teach in order to be seen, our clothing and all the entrapments of who we are, instead of teaching to do. And Moses was a teacher who was leading them to do the right thing. My God, we need people like that in the body of Christ today. We don't need any more Hollywood showmen and all of these magic tricks and all this craziness that's out there in the body of Christ, and everybody wants to be famous. Give me a break. I tell you, it's going to be a glorious day when people are kicked off the internet. Oh, it will. It will be a glorious day whenever people are kicked off television. And God finds another way to get the gospel out, because there needs to be a cleansing. There needs to be a purging of our narcissism that we have in the body of Christ. It really does. You say you want that to happen? I don't look for things to happen. I don't pray for things to happen in the negative. I always pray positive things. But the reality is, it's going to take people to be shaken to where they love the congregation once again. They love people. They love standing up here and teaching. They love to teach, to do. That's powerful, man. To teach, to do. Watch this. To do what? Them. The statutes, the commandments. Here you go. That you may write this down. Watch this. I'm teaching to do. Now, let me give you the definition real quick on teaching and to do, the whole phrase there. In Hebrew, it means to fashion, to work, and to produce. The word do there, and let me give it to you, is it's ashah. A-S-A-H. Ashah. Ashah, that's kind of the pronunciation. You can look it up. It's 62:13. It means to fashion, to work, or to produce. So I'm teaching you to be fashioned. I'm teaching you to work. I'm teaching you to produce the statutes and the principles of the Word of God. So I'm not teaching just to be up here. You should never be teaching just to teach. That's why we have people who have teachers heaped up with itchy ears, wanting to be taught all the time. Okay? I believe that we are in a movement of Holy Ghost preaching. True remnant, Holy Ghost preaching. While the world is wanting teachers, the true church is raising up preachers. Nothing wrong with being a teacher. But teaching doesn't move you. Teaching doesn't bring you into conviction. Holy Ghost preaching, that moves you to do something. And that's for another sermon, another time. But number one, here's what it does. I'm teaching you to fashion, to work, to produce. And what will be the benefits? Number one, sustainable life. If you look at that word up, life in the Hebrew, in the definition, it is a sustainable life. I don't want you just to live. I want you to have a sustainable life. I don't want people coming to this church just to come in services and sit down and fill out chairs and numbers and money and those things. I want you to be able to have a sustainable life. Not that you come up and report to me and say, "Pastor, man, my Mercedes is running top notch. I just got a yacht the other day. We're going to put an addition to our mansion, another 10,000 square feet." I mean, if that's your life, praise God. I don't know anybody that's got that, but that to me is not a sustainable life. But if somebody comes up to me and says, "Man, God's blessed and taking care of me. You know, I love him with all my heart, my spirit, my soul, my mind, and my body. Yeah, I'm going through some struggles, but guess what? The greater one lives inside of me." That's a sustainable life. That's someone who says, "You know what? I'm going through hell, but I see heaven. Come on, I'm not doing too good, but God is good all the time." All right? So sustainable life. Number two, going in. He said you're going to go in. That means you have access. You are going in. There's some things that you and I in life, we must be in the forward progress. We must be in forward motion. We must be going into the things of life that produces. You possess the land. You say, "Well, isn't going in possessing the land?" No. A A lot of people get to the entrance of things and miss it. A lot of people do. They get to the entrance of the blessings and they stop. They get to the entrance of their healing and they stop. They get to the entrance of deliverance and then they go back with old friends. They go back to old ways, old habits. So going in means you begin that process, but then as you begin to receive the teaching and the understanding of the Word of God, then you begin to possess the land. And to possess the land means you begin to live in it. I remember growing up, you know, and I'll just use finances as an example. I always remember the preacher telling me, if you just give and give and give, the Lord will bless you. And, you know, at first it wasn't working. I mean, I was looking at things sideways. I mean, I wanted to serve God. I wanted to do the right thing. But I'm like, hey, Jimmy, this thing ain't working, buddy. You know, everybody's riding around in new cars and talking about all the blessings. You remember that in old church? Actually, it'd be not too old. It's more modern church. Everybody talking about money, their testimonies, what the Lord did. Now, you know, I got it, but it wasn't working for me. And I could not understand. But then when I began to learn the principles and the Lord began to show me that as I possess that land, which is the Word of God, it's not anything physical. It's the Word of God. It's the kingdom. When I learned the keys of the kingdom and I got in my right relationship with God in faith, then all the doors began to unlock. God began to show me things and bless me. And that's just the way that is. So very powerful. Where did it begin? It began with teaching to do. Somebody had to teach me to do these things so that I would produce and be a blessing. So many reducers are in the church. Can I talk for a minute? There are so many reducers that just take and they draw and they pull and they steal, if you will. They just suck out life because they do not know how to enter into the blessings of God. And you will always have the poor with you. Poor in the spirit, poor in the mind, poor in the heart. I understand that. Poor in the natural. We're not talking about material things. We're talking about people who do not apply their faith and the kingdom principles, and they hear it Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, teaching after teaching, book after book, DVD after DVD, years after years, and they are still in that cycle of poor in spirit. It's a shame. And you can't blame it on the person who's teaching to do. It's your fault because you were taught to do, but you wouldn't do it. I always say this, if you work the Word will work. If you work the Word will work. Bless you. All right. So that you may live, this is verse 1, and go in and possess the land. Everybody say possess. Possess the land, which the Lord, the God of your fathers, hid from you. What? Is that what it says? I need to clean my glasses. He gave it to you. He ain't hiding it. He gave it to you. He's teaching you how to possess what he gave you. Man. All right, check this out. Verse 2. And you shall not add unto the word which I command you. Wait a minute. We can't add to the word? So I can't do it my way. So if pastor tells me the Bible says to tithe 10%, I can't tithe 5.5%. Man, let me get this right because I'm learning with you. So I've shacked up with her for all these years. Ain't we married in the eyes of God? Come on, somebody. You hear the craziest stuff that's said by church folk that's not even in the Bible. And even preachers. And they'll find preachers that agree with them and they'll get around them. Well, we can smoke herb. It's in the Bible. The book of Genesis. And God made everything good. You're an idiot gone to seed. I mean, that's taking root all the way down to dum-dum land. And it's demonic. So here we go. And you shall not add to the words which I command you. and neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep it. Everybody say keep. All right. Hold on to that word. That you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you. So you are to do what? You're not to add, and you're not to take anything away, but you are to shamar. Remember that word, keep? Given to Adam where? In the garden. Adam, I'm going to give this all to you. I'm going to give you a fine-looking woman. Come on, somebody, be real. I'm going to give you a canopy of love. I'm going to give you the baddest pad on the planet. You're going to have animals all around you. You're basically Superman, and here comes Superwoman. That's why I called her woman. He said, but I want you to guard it. Protect it with everything that's within you. Here God is using the same illustration. Israel, I gave you sustainable life. I give you the power of forward motion. I give you the power to possess. But do not add to these words. Do not take away from these words, because you must guard them. Where did we lose this? I'll tell you where we lost it. We lost it when we stopped studying the Bibles for ourselves. We lost it when we became enamored by the guy, the gal standing up front. We did. We became enamored by him. You know, love your pastor, love your leaders, and you should. But they're not idols. They never replace God, and even their teaching will never surpass the word. Study the Bible. Find out whether it is so. Be a Berean. Be somebody who takes the time and studies instead of being a bobblehead Christian. Tu quiero Taco Bell? Watch this. Yeah. Shamar, 8104, by the way, if you're going to study that out. He mentions this again, by the way, in Deuteronomy 12:32, if you want to write that down, for just if you like tidbits. Anytime God mentions something in repetitive form, he doesn't have Alzheimer and he doesn't have a lack of words. He says things, when he repeats things, he's doing it for emphasis and he really means it, okay? Because he did it again in Revelation 22. Remember that? Don't you add nothing. Okay, so 22:18 through 19 in Deuteronomy 12:32. Powerful. Will we add things in our ignorance? Yes. All of us have in teaching and training. We're learning the Bible. We've quoted scriptures of friends or family, those at work. And we come home to find out we misquoted. You ever done that? Okay, maybe I'm the only one that's ever done that. I've done that where you misquoted the scripture or anything like that, but, you know, it wasn't done intentionally. He's talking about those that intentionally try to destroy his word and the meaning thereof. All right, verse 3. Your eyes have seen that the Lord, what the Lord did, because of Baal Peor, for all the men which followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. But ye that did not cleave unto, the Lord, watch this, this is very powerful here. But you that did cleave unto the Lord, your God, are alive, and every one of you, this day. Oh, man. Now, let me show you where you find this at. This is going to be in Numbers. Watch this. Numbers 25, 1 through 9. I don't have time to go look at that, but Numbers 25, 1 through 9. And I wrote down in my notes for verse 3 and verse 4, remember judgment. Remember judgment. Going back to the Old Testament and seeing the judgment of God is healthy. It's healthy. And so many people in the New Testament churches, they want to run from it, and they don't want to talk about who God used to be, and they get all freaked out, and they're like, oh, you know, blah, 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 blah. But they'll go watch horror movies, by the way. They'll watch war movies, and they'll watch violence and all that. But then you teach them that God deals with people who are disobedient, and they totally freak out. I mean, they blow a gasket. I wrote this down on my note. Remember judgment. Because in the Old Testament, there's so much of it. It's healthy. It's healthy. Look, if I was just, you know, officer friendly to my children the whole time, they're not going to take me serious when it's time to discipline them. If I'm rolling around the ground with them, you know, the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they're ripping the wallpaper off and breaking chandeliers and all that stuff, and mom walks in. That's not going to be a good scene. You know, so I can't be on the ground rolling around. Only some of the time. I have to discipline. I have to, what did you say? You're going to go outside, Brother Tony? You have to go outside. You can break trees. You can do that, but just don't break anything in the house. But at some point, I have to stop getting on the ground and say, hey, I'm your daddy. Pick your stuff up. Do what you're supposed to do. And watch out. All right. Verse 4, showing you Numbers 25, 1 through 9. History teaches us. The word teaches us. 24,000 people died. That's a lot of folks. That's a pretty good lesson. And God was saying to them, I want you to cleave to me just as a lesson. Don't add to my word. Don't take away from my word. Do exactly what I tell you to do, and you will cleave to me, and you will be blessed. And I will watch over you. All right. Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you. Everybody say taught you. I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land whither you shall go to possess it. In other words, I'm teaching you how to live, folks. I'm teaching you how to live in the new land. That's why we have to learn how to live kingdom-minded in the new life. When we're born again, we don't do what we used to do. We don't rob people with not paying them back. If we can help it, we're not late on our bills. We're not defrauding people. We're not telling Joe we'll pay him back next week as you're lying to Jim that you'll get the money in 2 weeks. You know what I'm talking about. Being a constant manipulator. We don't do that. He says, I'm teaching you how to live in the new land. I'm teaching you how to live in the kingdom. And we need to do that. We need to be kingdom minded. Wow. 24,000 people died. He said, here is a memorial to keep your mind healthy. The keys that unlock our possession is obedience. The keys that unlock our possession, the keys that unlock the kingdom is obedience, faith in God, obedience to Him. Okay? And it would also secure our land. So that's some notes I wanted you to see. All right, verse 6. Keep. Everybody say keep. Shamar. Guard it. Therefore, and do them. So I'm going to guard the principles of God, the statutes of God, the word of God, and I'm going to do them. So I'm going to guard them, and I'm going to do them. He's given us reasons here of how to possess the land. So keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. Let me break this down. Watch this. This is really cool. And we're going to get out of here in just a few minutes. So for verse 6, you know, we got to do the word. Okay? We got to let the word work. Because when we do, it'll work. Don't add anything to it. All right? I'm trying to get this one word here, this Hebrew word for wisdom. Watch this. I got to kind of spell it for you. It's a little difficult. C-H-C-O-K-M-A-H. C-H-C-O-K-M-A-H. Okay, and that's found in, if you're going to go back and study it, in the Strong's, the number is 2451. Okay, it deals with wisdom. But it means this, that as I begin to obey, so let's look at it one more time. Verse 6, so I keep before and I do them, for this is your wisdom. In other words, if I guard it and I apply it, I become a skillful man. A skillful man or a skillful woman. That's the definition of that word. Skillful person, a skillful man or woman. So wisdom is not knowledge of stuff. Wisdom is the skill to do it. I can sit there and tell you how to cut board all day long. Yeah, you just cut it and you get it over in that corner. But you put me on a saw. You better have stretchable board, because I'm going to cut it and remeasure it and cut it and go get another board and try to cut that one right. I have no wisdom when it comes to carpentry. I'm not a skillful man. I'm a good helper. I do the best I can. I've got around a few projects, and thank the Lord you could paint it and put sheetrock over it. No one ever saw it. But if I had to get paid for it, we'd all be broke. But a skillful man that has the wisdom that's from above can do things in, excuse me, excellence. In excellence. All right, now watch this. Why does that matter? Because when you break that word down in the Hebrew, wisdom, and being a skillful person, being a skillful man, here's the categories. Number one, in war. Here's the reason why God was telling the children of Israel, guard, do, watch over, don't add to, follow me, the nations will see you, you'll be great. I'm going to tell you right now, America, this is your answer. You want to be great again? Follow this, follow the word of God. Mr. President, Congress, everybody in power, you want to be great again? Keep America great and all that blah, blah, campaign garbage? Follow the word of God. That's how you're great. That's how Israel was great. Number one, in war. Number two, in administration. I'll give you wisdom. You will be a skillful person. Number one, in war. Number two, in administration. Number three, in shrewdness. You wouldn't have a deficit like we have today. You wouldn't have crazy bills we have. If you just follow the plans of God. And number four, prudence in religious and ethical affairs. Prudence in religious and ethical affairs. That sounds like the total life right there. That sounds to me like the abundant life. That sounds like to me that a nation that would honor God, God would bless them in these categories. And this is just a snapshot, okay? This is how you make a nation great. This is how you make a family great. This is how you make a church great. This is how you make a community great. But we've left that. Verse 9. Well, let's see. Let me take you to. Let me finish verse 6 here. And understanding that in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say. I wanted to read that again. Surely. This great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that he calls upon him for? That we call upon him for. I mean, what they're saying is all the nations of the earth are going to be looking at him and say, wow, man, God's blessing you. You call upon his name. He shows up. He's blessing you beyond your imaginations and comprehensions. Wow. What are you doing? Verse 8. What nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? And then finally, 9 and 10. Only take heed to thyself and keep. Everybody say keep. Shamar. He likes that word, doesn't he? That tells me this. No matter what I'm doing in my life, keep my dukes up. No matter what I'm doing, keep them up. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up. Don't give in. And don't give out. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Now watch this. Listen to what he's saying. Fight for these things. Protect these things, lest you forget what your eyes have seen, in which, and they depart from thy heart and all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord God in Horeb or in Mount Sinai. Some of your Bibles may say Mount Sinai. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. Notice that he said, I'm going to make them hear my words. That they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. I read it slow for a purpose, and the purpose is for it to sink in, that a generational blessing must be passed on in order for it to be a generational blessing. It must be. He said it twice about the children, the sons, and the sons' sons. And the problem we're having with our future generation is we're not passing on the generational blessings of what our forefathers taught us, and mainly and most of all the patriarchs, the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the Bible, and we're not passing the baton on to the people. And he said, I want you to remember Mount Sion. What happened there? We know what happened in there. We know what happened in Numbers chapter 19. When Moses went up to receive the commandments, but then God said, I want to talk to the people. Remember that? Numbers chapter 20, verse 18, verse 19, somewhere in there. And what did they say to Moses? No way, dude. They didn't say it that way. That's a Ben Faircloth version. But they're like, no, you go talk to him. Well, we got it. Lest we die. They understood how holy God was. And that's why having an understanding of the Old Testament, having an understanding of judgment is healthy for us. Having an understanding in the book, throughout the book, the Bible, and seeing what happens when we do things that are wrong, and recognize and realize it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Very powerful, man. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm out of time for tonight, but go back and look at some of these chapters that I shared with you, and let the Lord bless you. Excuse me. All right, guys, I love you. Let me pray for you. Have a great, great Thanksgiving. Those that are watching right now, I love you. Be blessed. Enjoy family. And just love on one another. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in this house tonight. So thankful for Deuteronomy chapter 4 and the truths of your word. To not add, not to take away, but to guard them. To be found faithful in this hour when so many people are not faithful. And that we'd stick to your word and let your word stick to us so people can see how great our God is. Not how wonderful we are, but how great our God is. Father, bless everybody here in this congregation, those that are watching us tonight, wherever they may be. Bless them beyond their imaginations on tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.